Okay, we continue in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, for an abridged version because of Rosh Chodesh. And we ended off with Shaul had the Jews counted before they're going to have their battle against Nochash. And this counting took place in a place called Bezek, and as well through the vehicle of Bezek, which were various either little stones or little pottery shards. So, and that's the opinion of Rav Yitzchak in the Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma Chav Beis Amid Beis. So the question is, why do we do this? Why do we count in such a way? So Rabbi Yonis and Ivershitz explains the following. It's all brought in the Sefer Musar Hanavim. It's based on a Zohar, in which it says in Malachim Beis, when Elisha visited the Shunammite woman. So Gehazi said to the Shunammite woman, he says, "Hayeshecha l'daber al hamelech o sar hatzava? Is anything you have to tell to the king or to the general of the armies?" And she answered, "Vatomer betoch ami anochi yosheves. I will prefer to sit amongst the people of my nation." And the Mephorshim explained what's going on. It was Rosh Chodesh. And Gehazi was saying to the Shunammites, is there something you want to ask from the king, meaning the king of all kings? Is there something you want to ask from Hashem? And then Elisha will pray for you for that. That's what the real question was. And the answer was, Pesoch ami anochi yosheves. I prefer to dwell amongst my people. What kind of answer is that? Meaning to say, she didn't want Elisha to daven for her specifically a special prayer. Why not? There are things everyone needs. So he says, Rabbi Yonasan Abishad says, because at the time where you ask something for a specific private individual thing, that arouses the judgment on a person. Person, you say to Hashem, I want this. Hashem says, you want this? Let's see if you're deserving of it. And quite often one is not deserving of it. But rather, when one davens, one should daven for the entire Klal Yisrael. And then you will be saved in their merit as well. Because the schus of the Klal, the merit of the group, is much stronger than the merit of the individual. Amongst the group, you'll find enough good in the group. In the individual, you may be found lacking. And therefore, she didn't want to have a specific thing asked for her. She wants just to be part of the group. And therefore, he says, similarly, we don't count every individual of the Jews in detail, because when you do that, what you are doing is you are putting chashivus, you're putting significance into each and every one by himself. Because we have a rule, even in the laws of kashrus, that anything that is usually counted, it's called a davar shebeminyan, something that is sold by count, and you associated by the amount of things you count, as opposed to by the pound. You can buy things by the pound, you can buy things by the dozen, and you could buy things individually. So anything that is bought individually, it's called a davar chashuv. That's called a important thing, and that is not nullified very easily in the group it falls in terms of kashrus. I don't want to get into the laws of kashrus, but it means it's something that's unique, and it doesn't get nullified so quickly. That's the rule is. There are those who say, Dover Shubaminion ain't a bottle. Something that's counted is not nullified. So it comes out, if you would count the Jews before you went to war, that means you're looking at every Jew independently from the others, and that will arouse the attribute of justice. And it's better for each and every Jew to say that he is not so chashav. And the whole chashivas is because he's part of the group. And therefore, every time we count Jews, we count them in such a way where we're counting the number of stones, we're not counting every Jew that he is one. And this really, speaks to a much larger issue, and it all, fits into this idea of, of what Shaul is all about. When we talk about humility, his tznius. And it also goes hand in hand with this idea that we know that the Gemara tells us is that Yosef is beyond the evil eye. Yes?
You mean there are occasions when Jews can be counted individually?
No, we're saying we don't count them individually. I said we don't.
In other words, there could be occasions when we do. Is that it or no?
No, we
absolutely
don't count.
Not.
No, right. You don't want to arouse focus on a Jew.
So that's okay, fine.
We don't. We don't do that. Yeah. Therefore, even when we count for a minion, we don't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We say a pasuk. We don't want to say that you are number one. You are number two. Right? So this all fits into the idea, as again, he's a descendant of, Shaul's a descendant of Binyamin. That has to do, you know, the children of Rachel, Yosef. It's all one category over there. And the whole idea that Yosef is beyond the evil eye. Many of the brachas that Yaakov gave him, that clearly says that he is Ole Ayin. He is beyond the eye. He is beyond the evil eye. As we talked about in the Parsha class last week, the idea of the evil eye is when you draw attention to yourself. That's when it brings kitrug. It brings prosecution against the person. When you draw attention to yourself, it brings prosecution. And as we brought from the Zera Kodesh, and it's just worth repeating because it fits mamish right into what we're talking about over here. He says that the idea of ayin hara comes when a person sees something exceptionally beautiful or great wealth or great clothes or any amazing virtue, and you're astonished by that. So, and you can even be astonished with a loving eye. Not that you're jealous of the person, but you love the person. It's your grandchild. And you have a loving eye to that grandchild. But the fact of the matter is, when you say, look, is there anybody as good as my grandchild? So what are you doing when you're saying that? So he brings down that he says, when you do that, you may not realize it, but you're separating this thing from Hashem. You're separating it from its heavenly root. And if a person was wise and he was attached to Hashem and he would see things, he wouldn't be astonished at all from what he sees, because he knows that everything comes from Hashem. Why should he be astonished about anything? Because whatever Hashem does is normal. And therefore, they bring down that the skula against the Ayin Hara, the only real skula against Ayin Hara, is you look up to Hashem and connect everything to its source and say, this is just a manifestation of Hashem. There's nothing unique about it at all. And if you do that, that's called an Ayin Tov and not an Ayin Ra. And therefore, what do you do when you see something that Hashem does amazing in a person, whatever? You thank Hashem. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki lam chasto. And that's what you find, he says, by the imahos, Rachel and Leah, that they praised, that even though they couldn't have children, they praised Hashem, and they weren't astonished at all. And that's the key idea that wards off the Ayin Hara. That's what the Gemara says. If whenever the Jews did, by mistake, when David HaMelech, we're not going to get into why, now, but when he counted the Jews, right, then a great plague came over the Jews. And therefore we say, if you count people directly, it creates an Ayin Hara. It creates an Ayin Hara. And therefore you have to do things to avoid that. Now you're not doing that just so you don't get hit by someone else. You should be doing it anyway. But the point being that when you create a situation that people take notice of, well, usually if you're taking notice of something, that means it's unique, it's something special. Well, how could anything be special if it all comes from Hashem? It all comes from Hashem. And therefore, what you should only be doing is praising Hashem, the source of that specialness. In other words, an Ayin Tov means you look at things in a good way, and the good way is to source everything in Hashem. If you source everything in Hashem, that is a good eye. That is a good eye. And when you do things to draw attention to yourself or to others, and they say, you know, it takes two to tango. In other words, if someone draws attention to you, you know, it only works if you're trying to draw that attention as well. But once you're drawing attention, that means you are making it look like, and to a great extent you are, you're separating your virtue from Hashem, which is the source of that virtue. It's a very important point you got to realize. Person saying, oh, yeah, I don't mind if people know how smart I am. So what are you saying? How smart? No, the word I is a very dangerous word. Again, another word in the English dictionary that is a destructive word to humanity. Hold on. The word I with a capital, it's only in English to capitalize the I. Do you understand what it means to capitalize an I? It means I am capital. I am important. Right? Once you do that, right, you have separated yourself from Hashem. And Hashem is the source of all blessing and all goodness. So Hashem has been blessing you, and that makes you unique. He blessed you. And yes, you are. You may appear, looks are deceiving. It may appear to an untrained eye that, wow, that guy's unique in this area. But once you believe that you are unique, and that other people have drawn that attention, that you are unique, then you said, I guess you're not very connected to Hashem, because anything connected to Hashem is not unique. Doesn't mean to say Hashem has not given you a unique purpose in your life. You have a unique purpose. Hashem put you in it. Well, if I'm not unique, why did Hashem create me? Because Hashem gave you a job. He gave you a job. And you have to do His job that He wants you to do. And that makes you different than the next guy. But to draw attention to the unique virtues that you have, to draw attention to yourself. Drawing attention to yourself means, why do I have to draw attention to you? The attention should be drawn to where it should be drawn to, Hashem, because He is the source of what you are. Once you draw attention to yourself, it automatically is coming to the exclusion of God. So automatically God says, okay, you don't have anything to do with me? Fine. The bracha stops right then and there. And that's when the bad news comes. That's when the bad news comes. And therefore, you know, you do a lot of things not to draw attention. Again, drawing the attention means that there's something astonishing, something to talk about, right? You know, it's interesting. You go to a bar mitzvah, it's really very dangerous stuff. And, the only reason I say things I shouldn't say is because people get so angry at me. It's only for shalom. But you know, the people just can't hear. What?
Don't say things.
No, I shouldn't say certain things, but I do, because people will get very angry. What you're supposed to do is when a bar mitzvah boy does a good job, you say Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given you the talents to do this, and focus totally on Hashem. Hodu Hashem ki tov. You say this, people are going to say, what do you mean? My kid isn't great. Everybody comes waiting to hear all this great stuff. And that causes a great kitrug on that child, because your family, you're cutting off the child from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You did an amazing job. What do you mean, did an amazing job? Hashem can do anything. So really, you can imagine if I got to say, you know, Hashem can do anything. Look, He took this boy who couldn't do anything, and He made the boy smart.
But
people don't understand it, you know. And there's, everybody has to make unique, and this and that. You know, you're courting disaster. That's why you never bring little children to a wedding. Never. Unless you have no other choice. Unless your mom is the sister of the kala and there's no babysitter. You get a babysitter. What do you think? People looking at a little child making a big deal about it, right? You have to be very careful. Be very careful how you do it and how you couch it and how you say it and all these things. Okay, so you do have to make a bar mitzvah. I mean, there is aloyah, but the focus is on Hashem. You make a wedding, the focus is on Hashem. That you have to know where the focus is. And therefore, by drawing attention to you, you are separating yourself from Hashem, and therefore the blessings are going to stop. Because once you separate from Hashem, it doesn't come anymore. And that's why we say that the kiss of death in Judaism, what's the kiss of death? As it says in Sefer Dvarim, if you say in your heart, Kochi ve'otzam yodi osis achayel hazeh, my strength and my might has made me all this wealth, then you're in big trouble. And that's what the pasuk then says. Then you should remember Hashem, your God, who gave you the strength. You better remember Hashem, or you're going to get into big trouble. If you're starting to think it's you, you better remember it's not you. That's what I said. The Sports Illustrated example. The kiss of death. If you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, that's the end of your career. So the same idea. So you don't want to draw attention. So you can understand now how Shaul, you understand how this all fits in over here. Shaul, we said last week, doesn't draw attention to himself. He has what real tznius is. Tznius means you walk with Hashem. and you only do things for Hashem and not to draw anyone's attention, because you know where the source of your greatness is. It's coming totally from Hashem. And you do a big mitzvah, like we said yesterday, where you go and take the flak for the lost ring for 15 years. Now that is a tremendous virtue that nobody needs to know about. Nobody needs to know about it. If everybody knows about it, then you're saying it's me and it's not Hashem. And that's what Rachel Imenu did. Right? She preserved Leah's integrity without Leah even knowing. Not even Leah should know about it. Nobody should know what you're doing. And that means you say, and it's all coming from Hashem, and I'm not getting any credit. And that's how you have a descendant, Shaul HaMelech. And that really is what the king is. If everybody understood that the king is not the unique figure, he is the one who represents someone connected totally to Hashem, and has all these powers vested in from Hashem. So obviously the message Shaul wants to give, and this is his first kingly act, is to say that what? That we're all here fighting Hashem's war. And nobody, we don't count anyone as a unique individual. We don't separate them from Hashem, and therefore, we've been blessed by Hashem until now, especially when you go into war. Going into war is a time of sakana. Time of sakana, Hashem. The only way you survive is time of sakana is you're really connected to Hashem. Now I understand why soldiers would wear tefillin when they went to battle. They wore their tefillin when they went to battle. Because what's the whole purpose of tefillin? The whole purpose of tefillin is to demonstrate very graphically how you're connected to Hashem in your strength and in your mind. You're totally connected to Hashem. It's all, my whole strength comes from Hashem. The box says it. My whole thinking of how smart I think, it comes from Hashem. The box is on top of it. It says that. And as I go to war, I understand it's coming totally from Hashem. And if you've been connected to Hashem until that time, there's no reason why Hashem should stop being connected to you to protect you when you go to battle. So that's why you don't count anyone, but we still need to know how many troops we have, because still in all, I have to fight a battle. I got to know how many people came to war to know how to delegate the battle. So I need to know a number. Okay? So they counted the number. It was 300,000. So now he understood how much unity was there amongst the Jewish people. So that's what you have to do, but you have to make sure not to draw attention to that. That's the meat of Yosef. That's the meat of Yosef. Yosef was always, it's never me. You look throughout these parshas, he never says it's me. He always said, when Paro says, oh, I heard you can interpret dreams, and you understand dreams, blah, 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 blah. You know what Paro was trying to do? He's trying to give him the Ayin Hara. So what does Yosef say? It wasn't me. Got to be careful. When people start praising you, they may not realize that they're trying to give you an Ayin Hara. And therefore, you know, okay, you say, you know, Baruch Hashem, thank Hashem I was able to do it. That's the response. Then you don't suck up and ingest the Ayin Hara that they're trying to give you. So that's what Shaul HaMelech was doing. He was trying to not eat and he didn't want anybody else to take part in that Ayin Hara as well.
Organizations are doing tribute dinners honoring parents, best parents of the year, or best community workers in the film organization, and they're all the time, and they're from organizations, and you see them in those.
They shouldn't do it.
Little magazines.
We do it here for the young kids and
you're trying to encourage them to continue to do chesed. So the only reason we're doing
tribute dinners all the time,
right? So you have to be very careful how you word it. But again, we come back to that same rule. The same rule is, if people would be forthcoming with tzedakah money, they wouldn't need to do it. So now they have to pick the lesser of two evils. Better to close down a Jewish day school or give people kavod. If you close down a Jewish day school, that's the end of the Jewish people. There's nothing to discuss. Right? Unfortunately, a lot of people will not give money unless they get honored. Or their friend is getting honored. I'm not going to give you money. I'm sorry. L'shem Shemaim, who gives money L'shem Shemaim? Very few people. The people who give money L'shem Shemaim cannot support a shul, a school, any good institution doesn't get supported L'shem Shemaim. It's supported because it's my tzedakah. It's my covet. Right? So then we're able to, now imagine if you're an administrator, you're running a school. Now the options are either A, we can't pay the teachers because people don't want to give enough tuition, or they don't have enough tuition to give. We're going to close the school. The children will go to public school and won't learn Torah. And if you don't have that, that means there's no Jewish people, period. Or we'll have to transgress a smaller sin and give someone honor and give him an Ayin Hara. So it's the lesser of two evils.
If you educated people,
forget about educating people. They don't want to be educated, especially rich people. They're smarter than everybody else. What are you going to teach me? Do you have any money, Rabbi? When you start making money, you'll tell me something. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's what? So then they'll say, I don't want to be honored, and I won't give you money on top of that. Right? I won't. Don't honor me. I won't give you any money, and there'll be no school. It's a pathetic state that we're in. That's all. It's just another example of the gullus. Because why? That's why a goy thinks. See, well, how does a goy live? A goy is the exact opposite. They want the ayin hara. Every newspaper, it's all full of ayin hara.
That's interesting, boy.
Yeah, someone when Rafal features families so that people should know who's who in the shul, so we should know who each other are. All right, okay. So then somebody goes over to Rafal and says, you know, remember there's 160 member families here, and we just started this a month ago. So you only could do in 1 month, four families, one a week. So four out of 160. So someone says, why didn't you feature me? Yeah, it was insensitive, quote unquote. So in other words, why didn't you give me an ayin hara? Right? Give me, please. I'm dying for an ayin hara. So that's the idea. So Shaul HaMelech is counting people that way, as to not give an ayin hara to the Jewish people when they're going out to battle. And that is truly who Shaul was. Now that's going to also, be a challenge for him. Because if you think it's all Hashem, you think it's not you, then you may also be swayed by public opinion. And that became his ultimate downfall. So although he had a lot of good virtues, but the downfall was also based on that as well. Anyway, so that's where they're at. So let's learn, at least learn one pasuk today. I think it was a very valuable way of understanding this.
That's why Saul went back to the field instead of going on the throne.
He went back. There's nothing to glory. Now again, when you do sit on the throne, it's only as the representative of Hashem. The covet you give the king is really the covet you're supposed to give to Hashem. He is the agent of Hashem. And giving the king covet is giving Hashem covet. And as long as the king makes that clear, then we're okay.
Did he have the option to decline the kingship and say, I don't want to be the focus of the king?
How can you not listen to what Hashem wants? God says, I want you to do this. So what do you mean? If Hashem asks you to do it, how do you say no when Hashem asks you to do something? The chutzpah?
No. So you also told me not to be...
No, I'm not. So take it and don't be arrogant. Take it and be humble. Right? If Hashem says, I want you to do something, means, do you think Hashem knows what he's doing when he asks you something? Think Hashem maybe thought it over a couple times? But if does Hashem ever tell you anything that's bad for you? No. So if Hashem wants you to do something because he feels you're the one who has to do it. So what are you drinking a cup and being with humility here? Hashem says, very nice. You want to be humble, but I want you to be the king. So please do it. And if you don't, you're going to mess up my whole plan. Okay, I'll do it. So now please tell me how to be king in a way that it won't go to my head. That's your entitled to say. I'm afraid I could get into trouble. So tell me what and if you look in the Chumash, when it talks about having a king, that's exactly what the Torah says. Can you imagine a king who has to confer with the Navi? Before an important decision, listen to what the Navi says. What do you mean? I'm the king. You listen to the Navi. The Navi will, the prophet tells you what God wants you to do. If you're the king and says, well, God said I have to do this. So what kind of king are you? You know what kind of king you are? Someone who represents Hashem. But for any king, can you imagine any king who goes to battle who would ask God if he should go to battle? He asked the Urim V'Tumim if you should go to battle. You should go yourself. And you can't have a lot of horses, you can't have a lot of wives, you can't have too much wealth. Why not? Because then you're going to think you're somebody great. Now you have to have a certain amount, you have to have royalty so people will respect your office. If you come in tattered clothes, no one's going to respect you. And you are representing Hashem, so in terms of representative of Hashem, but don't overdo it over the top. So that's what he's saying. Okay, anyway, that's finished for today. We'll continue next week, tomorrow, with Mr. Sherman. Please remember, don't make a brach on Talson's Tefillin until 10, 6:40.